Good morning. Please join in our responsive call to worship. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together." Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, with faith in God's endless mercy and trust in God's infinite love, let us call to mind and confess our sins, first in the silence of our hearts and then together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. With St. Paul, we are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, forgive us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Please join in singing hymn number 103, "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence."
Thank you. People of God, Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Let us go and share the peace of Christ with one another. You may take your seats. Again, good morning. Oh, can we do that one more time? Good morning. I am a Reverend Alana Sullivan, Associate Minister here, and it is my pleasure to welcome you this morning. As we like to say, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, no matter who you love, no matter whether you are joining us online or on the radio or here in our sanctuary, you are welcome here, and we are so grateful to have you a part of this community. Today marks the fourth Sunday of Advent as we lit the candle of love. Our preacher for today is Reverend Calvin Jones, our very own assistant minister here in the Memorial Church. Our worship leaders are Cheyenne Boone, Harriet Lindemann, and Elizabeth Probst. The first lesson will be read by David Foster, and the second lesson will be read by Jason Steffen. Music is provided by David Bombaren. Today also marks the last day that Cheyenne Boone will be joining us as a seminarian. We have been so blessed to have Cheyenne a part of this community for over a year. We will miss her dearly. And there is a myriad of ways that our community is stronger because of her ministry. Cheyenne, thank you, and we're going to really miss you. Also, a special thank you to all of you who attended our 113th carol services earlier this week. Because of you, we were able to raise over $8,752.34 for Y2Y Harvard Square, a student-run overnight shelter for young adults right here. Our Christmas Eve service will be at 5 p.m. on Saturday, December 24th. This year marks the return of a beloved Mem Church tradition of our community choir on Christmas Eve. So if you would like to sing and learn from Edward Jones, please come to the church at 3:30 that day. Following the Christmas Eve service, we will be closed for the university's winter recess, and Sunday worship services will resume Sunday, January 8th. So to learn more about our services and all the happenings at Memorial Church, please visit our website and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. So people of God, all that we have is the Lord's. All that we may become and receive is in God's hands. For the sake of the joy that is ours when our bond grows deep with others, let us give generously for the well-being of the world. Our offering this week, as every week, goes to support the ministry of this church, especially our ministries to students and to our neighbors in need through the Grants Committee. The collection will begin from the front of the sanctuary. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, beginning at the 10th verse. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." Here ends the lesson. Will you please stand as you're able to sing the hymn of the Father's Love Begotten, number 129 in your pew hymnal.
Good morning. Our second reading will be from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do so, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Thus endeth the lesson.
Let us pray. O God of grace, as we near the end of this season of preparation, we know you are with us just as we are, and we trust that we are worthy of the light your child will bring. We pray that in this season we may be guided by hope. Each day we see reasons to worry and despair. We mourn lives lost to shootings and acts of violence this year, and stand with communities left feeling unsafe and heartbroken. Our neighbors sleep outside in the cold or in crowded shelters, and we struggle with physical and mental illnesses, so often let down by our medical system. Be with us, O God, in feeling our pain and turning towards hope, helping us to create safety and refuge and healing with one another. We pray that in this season we may be guided by peace, knowing that there is only true peace where there is justice. We pray for those experiencing displacement due to war and disaster, and new neighbors who have resettled here. We pray for those resisting oppressive government powers, for workers seeking fair wages and conditions, and those separated from friends and family through incarceration. Be with us, O God, in feeling our weariness and frustration, helping us to join in solidarity and together to find peace in you. We pray that in this season we may be guided by joy. Let the children in our lives feel the magic of color and song and story as families carry on traditions of this time of darkness and of light. Let us share with them the power of the hope and peace and love we find in you as we anticipate a new birth. O God, help us to loosen some of the heaviness we carry, and let our spirits be lifted by new connections, joyful memories, and little joys along the way. O God, we pray that in this season we may be guided by love. Alongside our joy, we know that this time of year can strengthen the weight of loss and of grief, as we look around crowded tables and remember those we've lost. Some of us will spend holidays alone amidst this ongoing pandemic. Be with us, God, in recognizing this grief and separation as a part of deep love. Help us to reach out to friends and neighbors who are hurting and to hold one another through this time. O come, Emmanuel, be with us just as we are. And now, as our Savior Christ taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, Sometimes it feels cold and you feel all alone. But hold on, better days are coming. It can be rough in this world. I know it ain't easy, but hang on in there. I know better days are coming. You've seen good, you've seen bad, you've been happy and sad. But remember, better days are coming. Friends will leave you all by yourself, but don't cry. Better days are coming. Oh, better days, coming. It's only a season that you're going through, but stay focused and never lose sight. I know people, they don't see the pain you feel inside, but keep on smiling, because everything's gonna be all right. Yeah, better days, I believe it's gonna come. Better days, better days are coming. You got to believe it. Better days, better, 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 better days are coming. One final time. Better days, better days, better days are coming.
Thank you. To this amazing church, the Memorial Church, to my big brother, Matt, Alana, to all these great ministers and seminarians here at the Memorial Church, I honor you today. And certainly not least, we honor the Spirit of Christ during this Advent season. Now let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O God. You alone are my rock and my redeemer. Now, I wrestled with this text, but I thank God for my wife, Aaliyah. As Matt knows, sometimes the greatest preacher is your spouse. When you're wrestling with the text, and they can encourage you. So I would like to place a tag upon the selected text, for it constitutes the context from which we will attempt to preach and teach today. God, show me a sign that better days are coming. God, show us a sign that better days are coming. Beloved, there are signs everywhere. Signs that tell us to stop in our cars, signs to inform us that there is a dead end ahead, signs to tell us of speed limits who we sometimes break. Come on, somebody, y'all don't want to be real. Anybody speed sometimes? Signs that tell us where the restrooms are located, signs that tell us that this is private property, signs to tell us to beware of a vicious animal, signs to tell us to slow down, signs that tell us that a speed bump is ahead. Beloved, there are signs every day to guide our everyday lives, signs that tell us what may be in the food in order to avoid an allergic reaction, signs that inform us if food has MSG in it or not, signs that inform us if the food may have gluten in it or not, signs that inform us if food has milk or dairy. There are signs everywhere. Signs and instructions to tell us how much sugar or salt may be in our favorite snack, even though the doctor told us not to eat it. Signs with instructions of how much sugar, eggs, or milk or butter to put in that cake during the holiday season. Beloved, there are signs everywhere. Signs on buildings, signs on billboards, signs that has advertisements, signs that tell us to wear masks, especially since we've experienced this pandemic, signs that tell us to put our phones on silent, signs that tell us no eating in the sanctuary, signs that say authorized personnel only, a sign that says the Memorial Church to let us know not to get it mixed up with Memorial Hall. Beloved, there are signs everywhere, but there seems to be no signs of hope. There seems to be no signs that the world is going to get better. No signs for this broken world. No signs of hope. Amid racism, discrimination, hatred, and war, no signs for injustice, wickedness, and evil, no signs for bigotry, no signs for sickness and pain, no signs for a broken educational system, no signs for that friendship, marriage, or relationship, no signs for your job, career, or future, no signs for immigrants who are suffering, no signs for our churches that are yet segregated every Sunday morning. Where are the signs to tell me and to tell you that better days are coming? There are no signs for those who are looking for God to move in their lives. There are no signs during this season after losing a loved one. How can you tell me, Reverend Jones, that better days are coming? God, I need a sign. There seems to be no signs that better days are coming. I'm a Christian, I believe, but God, where are you? I come to church, I do what you want me to do, but it seems like things are getting worse. There are no signs in my life. Do I have a witness in here today who can say out of their mouths that, God, I've been praying for a sign because it seems like hell is breaking in my life? God, I need a sign to tell us that hope shall come, a sign that tells us that our future may turn around, a sign to tell us that God will move on this campus called Harvard, a sign that says that God will move in my life, a sign that says that God will move in my family, a sign that says that God will shift our society, community, and a nation. God, we need a sign. Because all around us, there appears to be catastrophe, conflict, contention, chaos, calamity, confusion, contradictions, contempt, coldness, challenges, cloudiness, cancer, confrontation, conspiracies, complications, complicity. I'm out of breath. Curses, corrosion, cohesion, carelessness. God, I need a sign to tell me that better days are coming. God, I want you to turn this thing into courage, creativity, community, compassion, calmness, care, collaboration, connection, continuity, consolation, communion, clarity, change, celebration, conscious and coexistence. God, we need a sign. Tell me that it got to get better. It must get better. God, I need a sign. At times, it is difficult to believe that there can actually be a sign of hope. At times, it is difficult to believe that there can be a sign that indicates that better days are coming. Sometimes it feels like the more you try, my brother, the more life beats upon you. But do I have a witness in this building that there must be a sign? The more you pray, the harder life gets. The more you fast, it seems like the more tears fall. The more you try to love, the more hate tries to erode your soul. The more you seem to accomplish, the more lonelier you become. The more friends you have, money you have, accolades you have, it seems like the more lonely you are. Sometimes it feels like a sign of hope can't come. And you cry, pleading for a sign. And just maybe, like my brother just said, you may be the sign. This morning in the book of Isaiah, we are introduced to a king named Ahaz. This king is at his wit's end. Life is beating upon his heart. It appears that all hope is gone. This king needs a sign. And in my sanctified imagination, I can see Ahaz walking around his elaborate throne, and he turns on 8th century before common era century news, and the news anchor informs the citizens of Judah that war is on the horizon. And his kingdom is going to be attacked by two kings, the king of Israel, the king called Pekah, and the king of Aram called Rezin. These kings attack Judah because Ahaz refuses to participate in a coalition against the northern Mesopotamian power, Assyria, who wants to take control of the entire region. Ahaz is terrified. The citizens of Judah are panicking. The two kings are going to do what they want to do in order to destroy Judah. And Ahaz is saying, what if they cut off the water supply? What if they cut off the food supply? What if they come in and destroy our homes, businesses, and livelihood? Ahaz needs a sign. These are the questions that are perplexing Ahaz. The people need a sign of hope. Ahaz needs a sign, but Ahaz is so afraid. What if this sign is actually not true? What if God is going to pull my leg again? What if this sign is not good enough? We all have been there, let down over and over and over again. We ask God for something, but we have issues believing. Sometimes our circumstances and the world around us clouds our heart. And it is difficult to believe. Do I have a witness? The sign comes, but my situation sometimes is antithetical to what the sign is or what the sign says. God, your sign says that you're going to heal me, but the doctor says I have a terminal illness. God, your sign says that love shall come, but my life seems to be filled with hurt, pain, and disappointment. God, your sign says that you will mend the world, but it appears that hate is consuming our communities. God, your sign says this, but it seems like my situation is antithetical to the sign. Ahaz needs a sign, but he's struggling. And if I could be real with you all, just because I stand up here and preach, just because I wear this stole or these vestments, I struggle sometimes believing what God tells me. Sometimes the sign can be right in my face, but I'm like, God, I just don't believe you're going to turn this thing around. Can you be honest with yourself sometimes? Ahaz is struggling. He knows he needs to trust this sign, but he's afraid because he's consumed by pain. He's consumed by war. He's consumed by the threat of pain in his nation. And in verse 10, the Lord speaks to Ahaz saying, ask the Lord for your sign. Let it be as deep as the grave Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test. In other words, I can hear him saying, God, I'm not going to ask you for anything because I have said this before. I prayed before. I fasted before. I tithed before. I joined the choir before. I tried believing before, but it looked like things got worse in my life. I'm not going to give you a sign. Why can't you just show up and turn it around? And then the prophet says, well, since you won't hear God, maybe you need to see a human. Maybe the prophet said, let me just come in your face since you can't see God. The prophet steps in and says to Ahaz, all right, Ahaz, I know you're having an issue clinging on to hope. I know you're having an issue believing this sign. Are you afraid to ask God for this sign? Do you want better days to come? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? God is going to give you a sign. Look, it ain't gonna be a typical sign. Don't look for the fire to come out of the sky. Don't look for the choir to sing a song that gives tears to roll down your face. Don't look for it to be a miracle. It's gonna be strange, but it's gonna be a sign. There's gonna be a young woman who will be with child and shall be called Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse evil and choose good. And the prophet goes on to say, the Lord will bring you and your people and your ancestors, and on your house will be blessed. There's no doubt that this sign of hope is what Ahaz prayed for, but it was a hard one. And a difficult one, and a strange one. This is the irony, this is the contradiction, this is the paradox of Advent. Believing that better days are coming amid chaos and despair? Preacher, don't say that to me. Have you seen my life lately, Reverend Jones? Preacher, don't say that to me. Have you seen the tears that I've been shedding in the midnight hour, Reverend Jones? No, I haven't. But like the prophet, I just stopped by to ask you to imagine with me. The prophet invites Ahaz to imagine, to invite him to not allow his perception to be skewed by fear, and to hope that better days would come for Judah in the 8th century. Like Ahaz, the angel in Matthew invites Joseph and explains to him that a sign is going to show up in his life. It's going to be a strange one. The angel, like the prophet, explains to Joseph that the Spirit would send a sign that would interrupt a Roman-occupied world of fragmentation. The angel, like the prophet, offers Joseph a sign that better days will come. Today, I do not know who this may be for. You may be having a hard time right now believing that God is real. You may have a hard time believing that God is going to move in your life. You may be having a hard time believing that change is going to come to your address. But there's a saying that says that even if God is not blessing me right now, if God is blessing my neighbor, God must be in the neighborhood. You have been asking God for a sign, but you are nervous and fearful. God, I'm hurting. I'm losing my mind. But today, as the prophet spoke to Ahaz and the angel to Joseph, I say to you that there is a sign coming your way. God is speaking even now to you today that this Advent may be a sign that things are getting ready to turn around, that better days are coming, and God is going to break into your situation, that a divine interruption is coming into the problems of your life. I prophesy that your heart is about to be irrigated with the sign of hope. And in the words of William Sloan Coffin, without hope, we are literally hopeless creatures of despair. If we cannot feel something more, we become something less. Just as if we cannot look to something more, we become something less. Just as if we cannot look to something above us, us, we will surely sink to something below us. Is there anybody in here today that says, I need God to show me a sign that better days are coming? God, show us that your sign is here and closer than before. May God's love be a sign that you will be all that God wants you to be. May God's light be a sign to empower you to go out into the world and speak truth to power. May God's spirit be a sign that you have the power to live a life that will show the world that God is a God of love, justice, and hospitality. God, show us a sign. May God's presence be a sign that you are not alone. May God's joy be a sign that you do not need worldly possessions, oh my God, or desires to make you happy. May God's fire give you a boldness to proclaim the spirit of holiness. May God's peace be a sign that God is within you right now. And let us not forget that God has given us signs before. God used the sign of dew on a fleece of wool as a sign that Gideon was chosen to save Israel. God used the sun and shadows as a sign to indicate 15 more years to King Hezekiah's life. God used dreams as a sign to show Joseph that one day he would no longer be subject to humiliation, but would become a leader. God showed a sign of fire and a cloud to the people of Israel to show them that God was with them. God can give you a sign that better days are coming to your house. And as I go to my seat, I believe that God has given you a sign this morning. You may say, Reverend Jones, well, no, I'm still hurting. I'm still going through. I still have this situation. If God woke you up this morning and you had breath in your body, that's a sign. And the blood is running warm in your veins, that means that there is more. As the saints would say, if you woke up this morning and the bed that you slept in wasn't your cooling bed, that's a sign. That there is a sign that there is more. It is not over. You are the sign. So in other words, we need to look up to heaven and say, God, use me. If you can use anyone, surely you can use me. God, use me to shed love. Use me to share peace. God, use me to be who I'm called to be in this hour. And if no one likes me for being the sign, if people talk about me for being the sign, if people misuse me for being the sign, no matter what, God, I know you will be with me. God, I know you will be present. So people, look east. The time is near of the coming of the year. Make your house fair as you are able. Trim the hearth and set the table. People, look east and sing today. Love, the guest is on the way.
Let's sing our closing hymn, People Look East, the Time is Near, number 109 in your pew hymnal.
as we leave this place, but never away from God's presence, may you be reminded that Christ is on the way. Go in peace.